Thank you, and thanks for coming out to the presentation today. I'm going to talk about a long-term continuous corn project that we have going at UW-Madison. Now, this project I inherited from Larry Bundy, and he himself inherited it from Art Peterson. So it's a project that's been going on for a while now. We've all have added about 10 extra years, not me personally, but all have added 1 year of data. But we have about 10 years of data that we've added to our last publishable data set on this topic. So today I just want to talk a little bit about some of the history of the site, some of the previous results, tie in some of our the new data to extend some of our trends, if you will, and also just to talk briefly about the future of this site and the value of this site. So this cropping or this system was established on a tall grass prairie soil. In 1933, it started to be farmed, and this farmer managed it with, quote, a minimum of good management, which is a politically correct way of saying he's a crappy farmer. But they burned the corn stover after harvest to get rid of the residue. So Art Peterson, or the university, took over the land as part of the Arlington Field Station in 1958, and Art Peterson established the site. And in it, instead of burning the residue, now a mole bore plow was used as the tillage practice. So on this site, there is three rates of nitrogen. It's a relatively simple study, but a very powerful tool that we have. So there's three rates of nitrogen and four replications. So these rates of nitrogen I've labeled low, medium, and high. In reality, the low is always a zero nitrogen input. The medium is the optimal or an optimum nitrogen input. And the high is an excessive nitrogen input. So from 58 to 63, the rates were 0, 56, and 112 kilograms per hectare, applied as ammonium nitrate. Then from 63 to 83, those rates started to go up as the recommendations changed, hybrids improved, that sort of thing. From 84 to 92, Larry Bundy decided to, on top of the, so these sites had been in place for about 30 years, well, a little less than 30 years. And so on top of it, he put a nitrogen rate study on each plot, and I'll be showing some of that data as well. And then after that study was concluded in 92, then it went back to our current rates and have been the same rates, 140 and 280 since 1993. So that the rates of, so essentially they are 125 pounds per acre, 250 pounds per acre. And just wanted to put it where these rates lie in our current recommendations. So the 125 fits right into a price ratio, you know, a recommended price ratio between 0.1 and 0.15. It's a nice optimal rate, and the data will also support that. So this site is just north of Madison, Wisconsin. It's about 20 miles north of Madison, and this is the experimental site. So you can see the zero nitrogen treatments, four reps, really long plots, and that's why Dr. Bundy was able to split it into four nitrogen reps on top of that. So, start with some yield results. So, 58 to, this goes through 2007, and so for the zero nitrogen rate, essentially a flat response, no real yield increase over time, quite variable year to year, typically what you'd expect. Although we have seen a nice increase in yield on the medium and high rates. Now, certainly this isn't due to our application of nitrogen, as it is probably more an effect of improved hybrids, improved management, improvements in insecticides in this site. But yield trends are going up. We don't appear to have plateaued at any point. We're now achieving yields over the past few years, consistently over 200 pounds or 200 bushels per acre. Now, and also in 1984, Larry Bundy split these into half of the plot received additions of ag lime, and others did not. And so since 1984, so these are yield trends since 1984, and we have just a slight suppression in yield. The heavier lines are with lime, the thinner lines are without lime. So just a slight yield suppression without applying any lime. But again, between 84 to current day, we're still seeing a nice increasing trend in yield. However, we're starting to see a slight, perhaps decreasing trend in our zero nitrogen plots. And all of these regression lines are significant. The model is significant, but the R-squareds are typically between 0.2 and 0.3. So those are our yield trends. So our next 10 year, or the 10 years of data that we've collected since the last published report, the trends are going in the same direction. Trends are going up. Yields are improving. But what have we learned about soil dynamics? So today I'm going to talk a little bit about soil organic carbon and soil organic nitrogen dynamics. What we've learned. So in 1953, the soil organic carbon content from the upper 20 centimeters was 18.8, and they were burning the corn stover. In 1994, Vendati et al. They collected data and they came up with an increase. They're looking at a significant increase in soil organic carbon content, typically related to the now we're increasing or incorporating that soil organic carbon as stover. But also a slight increase in soil organic carbon content from additions of nitrogen fertilizer due to increase in amount of stover returned. They also collected from a prairie site, an uncultivated prairie site near our field location, to get some sort of estimate of where the background soil organic carbon was. And so they determined that was about 25 grams per kilogram. So it's still depressed from, obviously, our original prairie soils, but we have, with good management, increased the soil organic matter from previous poor farming management practices. Now, those are specifically soil organic carbon measurements taken for a specific project, although we do also have soil organic matter concentrations collected as routine soil analysis in the fall, and we've been doing this for about every 5 years since 1984. We do have one data point back in 1963. That was the calculated using the Walkley-Black method, but everything else has been loss on ignition. Now in our zero nitrogen plots, we have perhaps, none of these are actually significant regression models, but perhaps a starting to see a potential dip in soil organic matter concentration from some earlier experiment or from earlier measurements. But for the most part, I think that the soil organic matter content in the upper, 15 centimeters is pretty level. There's a lot of variability. Certainly, soil organic matter isn't a very precise way of measuring any sort of effect of carbon sequestration or things along those lines. But as just a general indicator of soil quality, I think that it's maintained soil organic matter levels, and that's with mulwar plow. Now, what's more interesting is the nitrogen dynamics that we've learned in this system. So the net, this is from an average of 1954 to 1983, the net average nitrogen into or out of the system, for the low rate, it's been a net output of 28 kilograms per hectare per year. And the medium and the higher rates have shown a net import of nitrogen into the system. Of 40 and 140. Now, this has had an effect on the soil organic nitrogen content as measured in 1984, where you have a significantly higher soil organic nitrogen content in the soil compared to that of without fertilizer application. So in this situation, fertilizer application has increased the soil organic nitrogen content. And it makes sense because we've had higher yields, not only consistently higher yields, but higher and higher yields, so greater and greater yields every year. The carbon and nitrogen ratio of the soil organic matter has not changed, though. These were not significantly different from each other. So we haven't, and at this level of measurement, haven't determined that there's anything necessarily different about the quality of the organic matter. Now, what's interesting is now what Dr. Bundy did is, so we had these existing plots where no fertilizer was added, the optimal rate and an excessive rate. And if you start doing a nitrogen rate experiment on top of that, he determined that at the high sites that have had excessive amounts of nitrogen applied for 25 plus years had a significantly higher yield compared to the optimal rate or a low rate when no nitrogen was applied. So this would be a site that has excessive nitrogen applied to it for 25 plus years, and now if we don't apply nitrogen to it, we see an increase. Now, this is an average yield between 1984 and 1990. So that's a 7-year average. So certainly the first year we would expect heavy residual nitrates remaining to see that yield increase, but this is an average over time. So something has changed the inherent soil dynamic in this system. Now, actually, how do I go back? Now this, I should also mention, these are on plots receiving lime. So this graph is a little busy, but essentially this is noting, this is the, for each of our, this is the LNN3, that's the excessive rate. And so this is our starting soil organic nitrogen in 1984, and this is the soil organic nitrogen when you don't have any nitrogen input and you add lime. So with the lime additions in our excessive plots, we see a decrease in soil organic nitrogen. We see a decrease in soil organic nitrogen in the optimum and rot plots too, and a slight decrease in our zero N rot. So that the lime addition has caused a decrease in the soil organic nitrogen content. Now, if that would, I put up some numbers here. So this would be the rate per year that in ppm that you would see over time. Now, I'll address these numbers again. So we see quite a bit higher yields compared to our high rate versus our low rate, and our high rate versus our medium rate when we don't have any fertilizer, what the soil's giving us. So with this is the difference in yield, and then this would be I calculated the potential difference in N uptake that would occur from those yields. And so I calculated back what a potential increase in the soil organic nitrogen would have to be in that soil. Now, he also conducted a mineralization rate study and determined that the high rate had mineralized 57 milligrams per kilogram greater in the high nitrogen rate soils compared to the no nitrogen rate. So we've increased the dynamics in these soils that increase the inherent mineralization in those soils. Now we've also added lime. And so if you calculate that difference or that decrease in soil organic nitrogen as potential plant available nitrogen, that would add about 18 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil. And so when you look at it, it needs an increase of 17, and that's of plant available nitrogen that it will take up. And you have that mineralization, and you compare that to the effect of lime, it's pretty clear that the effect of mineralization is more important than that effect of lime. So I'd say there's two main conclusions that we pulled out. There's no appreciable decrease in soil organic matter during the 50 years of continual corn with mulwar plow. And the long-term over-fertilization has altered nitrogen dynamics of the soil system by increasing mineralization rates. But what we don't know really is the mechanisms that are driving that mineralization rate. Are we sequestering more nitrogen with our optimum N rate and physically protected fractions? Are we just simply increasing the labile organic nitrogen ratios? So with that, I think that the next part of what I think I'm planning on doing with these sites are a full analysis of carbon and nitrogen with depth. But also, you know, there should be some discussion of, you know, is there anything more we can learn from this system? We're moving away from the moldboard plow. Is there anything else that we can learn from these systems? Is there any more information that we can gather? And with that, I just open up to any questions or comments that you might have.
Time for a question?
Yes, sir.
I have two related questions on your bulky black carbon frame you showed. One is why there's a difference in intercept. Another one is the bulky black test which you did was done at one time in archive samples, mm-hmm. or you did it every 5 years?
The Walkley Black that was collected in 1963 was analyzed in 1963 using that method. Those trends or those trend lines were not they were just simply meant to provide some sort of trend line. They're not significant regression.